Go ahead and continue our media availabilities for today. We are now joined by Brad Kozlowski, driver of the number 2 discount Ford for Team Penske. Thanks for joining us, Brad.
Thank you.
I know you had some good news this week with Discount Tire. Can you tell a little bit about that relationship in the news?
Yeah, it's been a good week so far for a lot of reasons, but certainly being here in Michigan upon itself, I enjoy coming out here. It's a good chance to see a lot of family, friends, and Team Penske, Archer Penske is out of here as well, so. You get a lot of turnout from the team, and our sponsor for this weekend, Discount Tire, was founded here in Ann Arbor, which is kind of special as they've re-upped for the next few seasons. So we got a lot of good news and good things happening, and hopeful that we can convert that into a great race come Sunday, and hopefully our first win here.
All right, we'll go ahead and open it up for questions. We'll start right over here to the left. And come down over right here.
Steve Schweitzer of the Lasco Press. Brad, this is the first time that the PJ1 traction compound has been applied to the track. What's your opinion? Is that pro or con?
I don't know, Steve. I'd really like to be an armchair and make a decision Sunday night. I think at the end of the day, it's done to try to make the racing better for the fans. Will it work or will it not work? I don't know. But I didn't think there was a bad race here last spring, but, NASCAR is just trying new things and always trying to improve the racing and things that we can do. And I always appreciate effort, and I know there was a lot of effort put into it. So I'm not thoroughly convinced it's going to work. I'm not thoroughly convinced it's not going to work. I could see either side, and I think it's kind of a jump ball.
Right down here.
Yeah, Brad, Roy Akers of Midwest Sports Scene. You've already won 3 times this year, but MIS has escaped you. What's got you excited about this year being the year for you?
We had a great run here in the spring. I thought we were more than capable of winning. We had a pit road issue very close to the end when we were in position to grab the lead and take control of the race. So that was really frustrating, but, I felt like we had the speed, certainly last spring, to be in contention at the end, and everything has to, fall your way, and you have to execute as well, but that didn't happen for us here, and hasn't happened for us, so it looks like we're off to a good start this weekend. We have really good speed. We're one day into a 3-day weekend, so it's a bit early and presumptuous to say anything beyond that, but still a good start nonetheless.
Right in front of you, right here in the back.
Brad, along those lines, I'm curious, how aggressive might you be willing to get if you feel like a win is possibly there in the final laps?
I don't know. I mean, you don't really know till you're in those shoes. That question always reminds me of, you ever read the story about somebody who fell down in a desert or canyon by himself, and a rock fell on his arm, and he bit his own arm off to get out. And people ask you, well, what would you do to survive if you had to? I'm guessing he would have never guessed that he would do that. I don't know what I'm capable of either or what I'll do. I hope I don't have to bite my own arm off. But with that in mind, I think without a doubt I would do more for this race than most any other.
We'll go to Wolfgang and then back to Taylor.
Brad, personal question. Was it last year or maybe 2 years ago you had a test with Simon Pagenaud's IndyCar? Did you get appetite now for open wheel racing?
Yes. That might have been 2 or 3 years ago. Time goes by fast. I had a great time, and Simon and Team Penske were very gracious to let me have that opportunity. I feel like that was probably a one-time opportunity. For a number of reasons, that the biggest of all being that, of course, I compete for Ford in NASCAR, and it's a lot easier to do a test session than it is to do a race in the eyes of those partners. And, racing's so much different now than it was back in the A.J. Foyt and the Mario Andretti days, where guys could to do all those different series. In the sense that, Wolfgang, we're in a sport now where about 65-75% of our revenue, that the money that pays for everything we do, comes from sponsors. And those sponsors can be, the Discount Tires that are on our car. It can be the manufacturers. And we really don't want to piss them off. And so when they tell us they don't really want us to do something, we kind of listen. Because I want to be able to win races and be competitive. But in order to do that, you have to have a really fast car. And you're not going to have a really fast car without the engineering. And the engineering comes from the sponsorship and the being able to spend money and develop the car. So it becomes really difficult to do those things. It's not always because we don't want to do those things. It's because of the economic landscape. I want to be able to be a NASCAR race car driver at the highest level possible to win races and to win championships. And any other goal, dream, or aspiration beyond that, quite honestly, inhibits the ability to do it. And so with that in mind, that opportunity is not one that I see coming to fruition anytime soon.
All right, we'll go over to Taylor, then over here to MRN, and then to Larry, and then to Bob.
Hi, Brad. Taylor DeSormo with MLive.com. There seems to be a lot of aggressiveness lately on the track in recent races. When you think about people maybe most likely to use the bumper or to kind of side draft you pretty tough, who are some of the drivers that come to mind?
Everyone. Yeah, I mean, if you're a top-tier driver, you're going to run these cars hard. You have to. You have to push the limits, not just of your car, but everyone else's cars. I can't think of anyone that's a top driver that I wouldn't expect that from.
We'll go over to your right.
Woody Kane with MRN. Brad, look ahead for us for a week, if you will, at Bristol. You talked about the PJ1 here earlier, and its evolution there and the difference between racing at night versus the day there. Is it just atmospherics, or is there more to it than that?
Well, the Bristol Night Race is a very special race, always has been, and it continues to almost grow in its status. When we think about the crown jewel races of NASCAR, it's right on the fringe of being one. I think you look at the race winners of the past two or three decades, and they're all what I would consider Hall of Fame level drivers. And looking at that gives the race a lot of credibility. I would also say that the track has changed a lot with different configurations and pavements and grindings and PJ1s. There's been a whole list of things that has happened to that track over the last decade or so. And that's changed it up a lot, but it's still the same Bristol. And it's still a really tough racetrack where things happen very fast.
We're going to go over here to Larry, then to Bob, and then to George.
You're in a good position in the playoff chase, but how much do you look at it top to bottom, and is it something good for the sport week in, week out when there's something like that brewing?
Sure.
And if I can squeeze another one in, on the aggressiveness on the track, like where's the line? Like where is it not cool? Where do you go too far on the track or off the track?
Yeah, Larry, I think I'm only good for one question at a time, so I might have to come back to that other one. It's not you, it's me. With that in mind, if we're talking about the points, I mean, I look at the points once every two or three days, and everybody's a little different, but, it's the clearest measurement of your success in the sport. It's one of the great things about NASCAR, or being in this sport in general. You think about most careers, most lives, and it's always hard to have a measuring stick. And in sports and performance, there's this scoreboard, and it's up there all the time, and you constantly get a reference on it. And it's one of the things I appreciate about the sport so much is you really know if you're doing well or not, and there's no maybe ambiguity to it. So I look at it a lot. I think it is interesting. I'm not always completely sold on, all the playoff stuff and the fives and the tens and the bonuses of this and that and so forth. But that is what it is. Certainly we pay attention to it because we want to be the best. What was the other one again?
You said all the top drivers are aggressive, pushing limits, their car, other cars. Like, where's the line, on the track or off the track?
The line is whatever NASCAR says it is. And if you can pin them down on that, you're a better man than me. I'm not sure I have a perfect answer to that. I would like to think that there were some clear markers left in the sand or in the ground a couple years ago with some of the issues with Matt and Joey. then I saw a similar issue to that probably even just last week. Not necessarily 100% certain. I know all the differences between what that line is and what it isn't, but I do know that at the end of the day, it's NASCAR that sets it, drivers.
We'll go to Bob and then to George and then to Dustin.
Bob Pockers, Fox Sports. With Discount Tire adding five races, there was some question just wondering what's going on with Miller Lite. And I know the team said they plan on them being back, but can you enlighten us any more? Do you still plan to be with them?
I'm pretty confident that Miller Lite's coming back, but I don't necessarily have anything to announce today as to what races or how many and so forth, but I would fully expect them to be on the car next year.
With you?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Go to George, then to Dustin, then to Claire.
George Poli, the Macomb Daily. Brad, in the current climate and compared to 5-8 years ago or whatever, how difficult is it and how much of a relief is it to get any sponsorship deal done?
Well, I mean, it's the lifeblood of the team. It determines winners and losers, before the race has even started. So, we talk about the sponsorship side, and I think I'm guilty of this at least. I don't know about everybody else, but when I see a press release of so-and-so's sponsor has re-upped, click, move away. Because, I'm so caught up in the, headlines and the performances and the who bumped who and who's fastest in this practice, who's leading the points, who's got the most wins. But the reality is that connects. That's telling you the future. The sponsorship announcements and those things, they're telling you the future. And unfortunately, in most of those announcements, you don't get the scope of it, right? You might read so-and-so just re-signed a sponsor, and that might be for pennies for two races, or it might be for megabucks for decades. So it's hard to always get a scale on those things. But the scale of them determines your ability to engineer and develop in this sport. And if you don't have a fast car, I don't care who you are as a race car driver, you are not going to win in this sport. And I've been very fortunate to have some pretty good cars that have given me opportunities, George, to win races. And Discount Tire has been a big reason for that. And their willingness to continue to commit means to me personally that I'll continue to have those opportunities and blessings to have cars that can win races.
All right, we'll go to Dustin and then wrap up with Claire.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Brad, as the racing has evolved, particularly this year with how different it is, how has your moral compass changed in what you're willing to do or not to do at this point with what you're putting?
I don't see a lot that's changed there, personally, Dustin. I think the racing is as intense as I remember it being over the last two or three seasons. It's definitely much more intense than it was when I first started in Cup. But it's hard for me to really see change in the sport outside of maybe a 2 or 3 year envelope. I think I get too close to the fire where probably when I have a 5 or 10 year envelope, I can see it and appreciate it. So I'll probably have a different answer to that 5 to 10 years from now and say, 2019, a lot of things changed, but right now I'm so close to it, maybe I'm a bit in denial or just can't quite see it, but I feel it like it's similar to last year. Certainly the cars are a little closer together at some tracks, not all of them. Some tracks are further away, and that lends itself to just naturally making more moves. The closer you are to cars, the more moves you're going to make, right? But I don't know if I would say that there's one thing that stands out to me that I would clearly say the racing has changed dramatically in the tactics with respect to aggressiveness.
And we'll close with Claire.
Claire Belang, SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. When you saw Chad Knaus tell, I'm sure you read about it, he told William Byron to go get the 18. And
I heard about it. I didn't read, but I heard a third-hand story.
Yeah, so he did. And then, of course, the front nose of his car because he tangled with the veteran who pumped the brakes. But do you remember a time when you were younger? How aggressive were you when you started that anyone ever told you to step up there and, you know, maybe you need to get out there and do something to somebody? Did you ever remember being that way, and how aggressive were you when you started?
I mean, I've heard a few stories, yeah. You know, I was very fortunate enough to have some really great teams and people that cared about me earlier in my career. And whether that be very early in my career with my dad and uncle, or even as I got really my first huge break, which was, you know, driving Dale Jr.'s Xfinity car and having Tony Urie Sr. as a crew chief. And he always made me feel like if something went down, he was going to have my back. And that's a big deal for a young driver. You need that. You need a guy that it's a really big deal for any driver, let's be honest. But even more so for a young driver who's trying to kind of feel his way out in the sport. He needs to feel like his car owner and his crew chief are going to be there. Not just be there, like, you know, in the press box. I mean, the press box is good, don't get me wrong. But, like, in the garage and at the car. And, you know, Tony Urie Sr. always made me feel that way. And it was one of his qualities that, without it, I'm not sure I could be where I'm at today.
Because I felt like the young drivers when they came in, and it was all the young guns and everything, that when they got to the age and maturity and confidence that they did belong, we're going to see them going up against and being more confident to do things, and it's going to make for real interesting coverage, because these young guys who came in initially were kind of just feeling their way, and now we're starting to see some of them kind of feel like they have earned their way almost. Yeah. And do you agree?
Sometimes, you know, everybody's story's a little different. And I know my story better than I know anyone else's, naturally. But, you know, I think that, it's been interesting to see, over the last, you know, 10 to 20 years, 10 years of which I've been in the sport, and 10 years where I watched it as a fan before that, the crew chief base change. You know, it used to be all these grizzled, tough guys that had started out sweeping a floor and then worked their way up to, you know, driving the hauler or whatever it was. And next thing you knew, they were working on the cars, and they became a master mechanic and just naturally made their way up through the ranks until they were the crew chief and in charge of the whole thing. You know, 20, 30 years later is the kind of the grizzled veteran leader. And, you know, over the last decade or two, that it's changed to where now these teams are all hiring these, I don't want to call Ivy League, but real smart guys that, you know, got these big fancy engineering degrees. And I know when I had the truck team, I was really cautious to not hire the really smart guys and put them with a, 18 or 19-year-old kid, because I always felt like they needed someone who was grizzled and tough and would make them feel like, the world was not coming to an end whenever there was a run-in on the racetrack, because they were there for them. So I see some of these younger drivers who are having a lot of success but aren't surrounded by that, and I feel as though they're going to have a lot of these types of moments that are kind of difficult to navigate. And it's interesting to see, you know, who can play through it and who can't.
All right. Thanks, Brad.
No problem. Have a good one, Clay.